This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. This is the Dean Show.
And we got the legend in the studio. How you doing? Helio Seneca.
Salam alaikum.
Alaikum salam. MashaAllah. All right. For the audience, you know you always hear me saying that. He said, peace be with you. How you been?
I'm good. How about you?
Good. Alhamdulillah. So, a lot to talk about. What I wanted to talk about, Helio, is I wanted to start off with, you know, a little bit of the history, you know, for you started actually training also jiu-jitsu, right? Some, yeah. Now, you know, he's been actually training since he was 7 years old.
Yeah, he told me.
He's kind of a hidden gem. Many people, you know, he don't really, his history's out there, but we not in HD format, high quality. So tell us a little bit about yourself. How you're coming in from Brazil, right?
Yeah, I was in Brazil. I lived 2 months in Brazil and 2 months United States in Louisville, Kentucky.
Now, you spent some time in Abu Dhabi, right?
Yes, beginning of 96.
Yeah. So for all the people who are out there, you know, who train in jiu-jitsu, now when you say Helio Seneca, many of the people from old school, new school, they, you know, you competed a lot. You came up from, even before when they have, many people know Carlos Gracie Jr. You had the Gracie Baja. You were actually one of the ones, founders of that. Is that correct?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Wow. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I started, we have a small group. It was me, Ralph Gracie, Roberto Correa, Gordo, Renzo Gracie, Jean-Jacques Machado, and his brothers was all instructors, Riga and Carlos Machado, and also Johnny Machado and I forgot the other Machado name. Anyway, that's the way we started. The name of the school was Clube Gracie that time.
Club Gracie.
Yes.
So this is before it was coined Gracie Baja.
Yes.
Club Gracie. Okay, you mentioned some of Holes Gracie was he around at that time?
No, Holes Gracie was in Copacabana. Like Carlos Machado and Riga Machado used to be a Holes Gracie students.
Yeah.
And then when Holes Gracie passed away, they become a Carlos Gracie Jr. students. And we are a student from the Machados brothers.
Yeah. Any of these names ring a bell?
I'm still very new to it.
New generation. So. See, that's why this is important, Helio, for the new guys coming up. They gotta know this stuff. Yeah, these are like some of the roots of a lot of the jiu-jitsu coming from Helio Seneca. You see, some of the teachers that I learned from, he was their teacher, like Marcio Feitosa, right?
Yes.
You taught actually Marcio Feitosa.
Yes.
Yeah.
Little bit. Him, yeah. Flavio Almeida.
Piu
Piu, all these kids, because I used to teach for the kids.
So they were kids at that time?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how did you get in jiu-jitsu?
I started with 7 years old. I used to fight a lot in school. Like guys, old guys used to kick my butt. Then my uncle brought me to the gym to learn jiu-jitsu.
Mm-hmm. And okay, so let's start from that beginning. Okay, so your uncle brings you into where? Who was teaching that at that
was,
time?
Was a school in Teresópolis, 2 hours from Rio de Janeiro City, is in the mountains. And I was a student from Elias Martins, Geni Rebelo, and Cirilo. Like, it was the best kids' school in the world at that time. Then I learned from there. Then, with 14 years old, I went to Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, training at the Clube Gracie.
So now who's there? Now it's Club Gracie at that time.
Yes.
This is in Rio de Janeiro.
Rio de Janeiro, so Barra da Tijuca.
Who's there giving instruction there?
Carlos Machado and Riga Machado.
Carlos Machado and Riga Machado.
Yes.
Okay. And so they're teaching the classes at Club Gracie.
Yeah, and my training partner was Renzo Gracie, Ralph Gracie, Jean-Jacques Machado, Johnny Machado, Gordo.
So they're also there now.
Yeah.
Okay, are they're your same age or older?
Jean-Jacques and Renzo, a little bit older. Gordo, Ralph, more or less my age.
Have you heard of the Machados? Okay, I'll say some names just to bring them up. You've heard of probably Eddie Bravo?
Yeah.
So that they, and Joe Rogan?
Mm-hmm.
So they're under, I believe Eddie Bravo is
under Jean-Jacques Machado.
Jean-Jacques Machado, right? So, but Jean-Jacques wasn't there?
Jean-Jacques was there, was a student like us.
Oh, he was a student like us. So, because yeah. Carlo, Hegan and Carlos, they're the older brothers.
Yes.
Okay, so he's now, if you can imagine that, wow, this is like.
Then he left, then Carlos left first after Hegan, then Jean-Jacques become our instructor, our main instructor.
So now Hegan was competing a lot, right?
Yeah, that time, yes. He was like amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I know Hegan. We've had him here in Chicago. He's come. We've spent some time together. So he was very
actually active. He started with the Clube Grace today Barra Grace competition team. It was his idea.
It was his idea.
Yeah, nobody like compete that time. Carlos Grace used to not like competition, and Hegan changed the mind.
Yeah. So then what happened? Okay, so now you're there, Carlos Machado. How many Machados? Is five brothers?
Five brothers.
Five brothers, right? So now they left. Where did Hegan go? Where did
come to United States.
Oh, they came to United States. So
I think Hegan came first, then after Carlos.
Is that when Hegan went to, now he went to Hollywood?
Yes. He's a Hollywood superstar.
Hegan, if you're watching, yes.
Another raspagem.
Yeah. I remember Hegan, first time I met him was in Brazil. And he came with Michael Dudikoff. Was it from the American Ninja? This actor.
Yes.
And he brought him to the Gracie camp. We had the Gracie camp there in Brazil. And he came. That's the first time I met Hegan. Yeah. Okay, so going back now. So they leave. They both go to America. Carlos Machado also?
Yes.
So now Jean-Jacques, now he's there. Running the
program,
the Gracie Club Gracie. Okay, and then Henzo and Health, what, they're there also teaching or there's
training?
They're training. Okay, so then what?
And Henzo teach a little bit too.
Yeah, how about like Hickson and Hoyler, where were they?
They were in Humaitá, it's like another town. It's another Grace Academy, another lineage. We are from Carlos Grace lineage. Hickson and Holly are from Helio Grace lineage.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how long now is Jean-Jacques there teaching?
Couple years before he came to United States.
When he
was able to give me my purple, my brown, then he left.
Are you guys around the same age? He's older than you?
Yeah, 3 years older than me.
3 years older? Okay. But he started training before you?
I don't think so. More or less the same time, but he was much better than me.
Yeah. So then what happens from there? I remember when I went there at the academy, when I used to train there in Brazil, you had the gym. You go up into the building and you had the gym on one floor, then the academy on the top
last floor.
Yes. When did you guys move into there?
And
then they had the Tasmanian Devil there.
Yeah. Before it was at the house. It's like in the same street. It was a little bit like in the beginning of the street was the gym was just a house. Old house they used to rent. Then the guy from the gym, like was the name Espaço Vital, invited us to go there. Then went there with our students.
To the gym. To the gym. So what's this? Is this still Gracie, Club Gracie?
That is still Club Grace. Gracie Barra. No, I believe, you know, it's becoming Barra Grace when a friend of us named João Paulo. His nickname, Big Head, also was one of the best fighter from the gym. Was the best blue belt at that time. He came with a Tasmania Devil t-shirt from his wrestling team. Then we have idea. He went to Flake. Flake was a short company. Like surfboard shorts, no? Surfboard shorts, I don't know how to say. And then... there you ask to the guy to put that logo in the triangle, and you put Clube Grace, and the guy say, Clube Grace does not sound nice. Why don't you put Grace Barra? Oh, yes, nice. Everybody starts like, you know. Then Renzo Grace told, look, you cannot put Grace Barra because I have a Grace Maitá from Royal. Then you put Barra, Grace. Then we made that time like a 200 sweatshirt, 200 t-shirt. I don't remember the numbers exact. Then you sold everything in 1 or 2 weeks. Then the brand starts. Everybody like that symbol. And sometimes people say, oh, look, you cannot put the Tasmania Devil because this is the world going to sue you. Anyway, then but you did, and it became very popular. Then that's become the name, Grace, Barra Grace, and today Grace Barra.
So it was flipped. So it was Barra Grace. Today is Grace Barra?
Or yes, or flip. It was Barra Grace, then became Grace Barra.
It was Barra. Barra is just Barra de Tijuca.
Yes, the town in Brazil, in Rio, town. A little town in Rio.
Yeah, you ever been to Brazil? Never?
I had the chance, I didn't go.
Yeah. It was funny because used to be a couple boys, toughy boys, uh-huh. Little bit crazy. And you used to fight a lot in the street. And everybody from the neighborhood instead fight against us. They join the gym to don't get the butt kick. Then they learn jiu-jitsu and it's becoming a champions.
Mm-hmm. That building that I would go train at, did you guys now, once you got the Tasmanian Dev, the shirts, you know, with the triangle, the Tasmanian, did you guys move over there?
Yes.
Now you're in this facility? You were there for a long time, right?
Long time.
Henzo's still there, and
yes,
Health, all of them were still training there.
No, still no. Nobody's there anymore.
No more. We're talking about before.
That time, yes.
At that time, yeah.
Probably everybody left from Grace Barra or Barra Grace. I left 18 years ago. Probably the guys left 15 years ago. I don't know exact.
But so how did it go from there? How big was the team? How many people were at that time when you changed the name over? Was it a big group training there? Was a lot of guys?
Was not very big like it's now, but was a the best quality group.
Yeah,
like just tough and the technical guys.
Name what's some of the guys that we see this picture often? You know the picture where the big picture.
Yes, with all Soca, the Draculino, Gordo, Gordinho, Nino Schwembe, Luciano, a lot of guys. I don't remember everybody's name. Márcio Cruz.
Yeah,
was a dream team.
Mm-hmm. So then, for the generation that I knew that now started to who I met there in Brazil was Professor Márcio Feitosa. So then, how did he himself, Pepiu, when did they start coming in to the picture? Around what?
Márcio, Piu Piu, they grow up, they become very good, very technical, like a good blue belts, good purple, good brown, good black. I think they start to show up in the beginners 90s.
Uh-huh. So then this is how many years after you guys made the name Barra Gracie? How many years later until they start training? Do you remember?
Maybe they probably they joined when it was Club Grace, then 3 years after, years after they joined when it was already Barra Grace. I don't know it. I don't know exact.
Was Henzo and Health, were they fighting at that time?
Yes.
They start fighting?
Yeah, MMA. Yeah.
They start fighting MMA.
Vale Tudo that time.
Vale Tudo, yeah. Were in Brazil or did they come over
Brazil
here?
Brazil and the United States.
Yeah. Did they have a strong Vale Tudo team that at that time or was just
no,
sport jiu-jitsu?
Just jiu-jitsu and we trained little MMA, little Vale Tudo in the gym. Like the reason Grace Barra is a Grace Barra because Renzo and Ralph Grace. They and also the Machados brothers. They are the reason everybody went to train with in the Grace Barra.
Mm-hmm.
In the Club Grace that time, you know.
Yeah. So then when did John Jacques end up leaving? Did he end up, he was there when it's Gracie Barra or Barra Gracie. So when did he go off to open up his own school?
When he moved to the United States.
So he left also?
Yeah.
How much after that did you leave to go to the United States?
Oh, I just left United States 18 years ago.
18 years ago?
2002, 19 yeah. years ago.
So then who took over?
My gym?
There in Gracie, Baja Gracie.
I never, I was already with my gym when I left. Yeah. I was not the teacher inside the gym.
Mm-hmm. So have you heard of this name, Gracie Baja? Yeah, so this is where he started, and actually he made some great history here, because he was, many people here, you know, Carlos Gracie Jr. and, you know, the Gracie family, but some of the people who are behind much of the history you don't get to hear much about. So I was, a lot of this stuff was new to me. So it's very interesting. Yeah, hearing this. Yeah.
I have a question. You said at one point, I think you were referring to Helios Gracie, he didn't want to do the competition.
Carlos Gracie. Carlos Gracie Jr. He never liked competition. Then after, he started liking competition.
So why didn't he like the competition, though?
Because the tough guys don't pay the bills.
Makes sense. Mm. Makes sense.
Yeah. So then how long from there? I mean, how do you, when you go, so it's officially that main school where I was going, where they had this team, it's no more, huh?
It's no more.
No more.
No more. I think they move.
They move. They move that school. It's still in Brazil somewhere, but they move?
They move. It's another building. I don't know where.
Oh, just another building. But it's still great. Yeah. It's still there in Barra da Tijuca?
Yeah, it's still in Barra da Tijuca.
Yeah.
They have a lot of association everywhere.
Yeah. So, yeah.
It's a strong team, you know?
Yeah. With me, when I went there for the first time, then I hooked up with Carlos Gracie Jr., with Marcio Feitosa. I was going to the Gracie camp. That's why I said Hegan was there the one time. I met Henzo was there, Nelson Montero, all the, you know, it would be amazing because you'd go up there and train. And I would never forget, because it was, you know, hot outside, but then you go upstairs, they had the fans. And the gi, you'd be soaked. You know, the gi would be all wet. It's like you're carrying an extra now 50, 60 pounds just of all the sweat. And, you know, then you see the first time I was there, I was I went as a blue belt. And just to be with all the different black belts, world champions, it was amazing. It was an amazing experience, yeah. Yeah. So there was some great memories, I remember, yeah. And then from there, I became the first American rep for the Gracie Baja, you know, here in America, because they didn't have a rep at that time. And that's when they started to expand, you know, and go get bigger and bigger. And yeah, so that was very, very, very interesting. Very interesting times. Who were some of the most influential people in your life? From
Henzo Gracie.
Henzo Gracie, yeah.
He's my idol.
Henzo.
It's my guardian angel.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you beat him to it, actually, because you beat him on the show before. He was. We had a date set up. Everything. He was here. He's been here to our academy. He's visited, we had a show set up. He just got busy, but you came on before him. So hopefully we'll get him next. Yeah, his health also. He's very, very nice. People, you know, get the sometimes you see health, you know, very aggressive and always fight. But he's, as you
big
know,
heart.
Big heart, right?
Wonderful person.
Yeah. Very nice and humble. Yeah, when you get to know him and meet him, yeah. You also, you got, how about the brother who passed away? Were you close with him?
Oh, yeah. He's my passion, my love.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We used to fight a lot against each other, but I love him.
Yeah.
So he's still alive for me.
Mm-hmm. So Henzo was the biggest inspiration for you, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Did they have...
I try act like Henzo Gracie.
Yeah,
but I cannot. I don't have the same charisma.
Yeah, have you heard of this name, Henzo? Henzo.
Yeah. Yeah.
So these are some of the. Then you have Hickson. Did you?
Just thinking about him.
You're thinking about him. Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Did you get a chance to meet Hickson?
Oh, yes, bunch of times. Very nice guy, very polite.
Yeah.
Amazing fighter.
Mm-hmm. Now, it was interesting to learn that you yourself, I mean, you were fighting in what weight division? 129?
125, 129. I don't remember exactly.
And you were one of the only guys that actually fought at your weight division. That's a big jump. I mean, you know, absolute. And then you won from blue belt, purple, all the way to black belt. Tell us about some.
Black, I took second place, but I won. Yeah, I did some. I like fight against big boys. I used to like.
Yeah.
I like always. I like challenge myself.
Yeah.
Then I went there to fight the open class. It's no compromise. If I win, I'm a hero. Mm-hmm. If I lose, I'm just a small guy.
Yeah. Who from when you were used to compete at that time, was it were you competing like weekly or monthly or regularly? You were
depends. Yeah. Was not like probably was like five tournaments a year.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to know, because here now you got like
every weekend.
Every weekend. How was it back then with the tournament?
Was like each 2 months, maybe 3 months, depends. And mm-hmm. two strong tournaments a year.
That's it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So who was the, you were probably one of, would you say one of the most active, like what, Hegan was very active with the competitions?
That time, yes, it was.
Who else? Who were some of the most active in?
Was Hegan, was Jean-Jacques, was Hans, everybody from the gym, all my training partners. We used to fight a lot. But at the time, Carson Gracie gym was the strongest gym in the world, you know.
Carlson Gracie.
Yeah, Carson Gracie.
Senior.
Yes. Yeah. Carson Gracie is school.
Carson, yeah.
Carson Gracie Academy.
They had the strongest team.
Yeah.
Was but how many teams were there? You had
a bunch of teams, like over 100 teams, 200 teams.
But what was the source always went back to, because you have the two lines. You have Carlos Gracie Sr., Helio Gracie. So all these other schools
have their father lineage too. Was the guys from the Brazilian suburbs. Mm-hmm. Strong guys, so good with ankle locks.
Yeah.
Very flexible guys. Uh-huh. Today is the Nova União.
Tell us about, who are they? The Nova União.
Nova União and the GF team. They are from the father lineage.
Whose lineage? Lineage?
Father. Master father.
Who's
that? Another guy learning jiu-jitsu beside the Gracie family.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Who did he learn from?
He learned from the same guy. I don't know the history very well, but I believe the same Japanese guy teaching for healing.
See, you don't hear. Yeah, I never heard this. So you had another also was teaching jiu-jitsu.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But he teach for suburbs.
Suburb, like, okay.
Yeah.
I got a question for you. What do you think today about the combat jiu-jitsu, where you could like strike the face and everything?
I think it's nice. Always was like this.
Yeah?
Yes, always like this. But it's different. Like, if you're going to fight a punch in the face or kick, you don't need to have rules. You need to fight like you fight in the street.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like MMA, right?
MMA is just a game. You cannot kick the guy's face and put the hand in the floor.
Yeah.
That's become a sport, too.
So you're referring to Vale too, though?
Yes, I'm from.
Yeah.
How we call in Brazil, this is a Nutella. Nutella, the chocolate there.
Yeah.
Were you around when I've heard Hickson talk about, you know, many of the stories at that time? You know, you see the fights on the Pepe Beach, you know, when he smacked the one guy and, you know,
Hugo Duarte.
Yeah, were you there?
Yes.
You were there?
Yes.
Tell us what happened. So you're a first-hand account. You were at the beach when this happened.
It was amazing.
Tell us what happened.
Oh, man, it was a fight everywhere. It was funny.
Yeah? Who was this guy?
This guy was from Luta Livre, a very tough guy, very honorable man.
Yeah.
And used to be our enemy, like is a style, start to be stronger in Brazil. Then they thought they were better. It was like a jiu-jitsu, but no gi. Then start the problems, like two big teams start to fight against each other.
Mm-hmm. And what was the, what for the people that don't know about this situation, what was the end result? What happened?
The BJJ won.
Uh-huh.
The Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu won.
He was much bigger than Hickson, right?
Yes. But it was not a competition for Hickson.
No. Hickson took him down.
Yeah, easy.
And then he mounted him.
Yeah, but the other guy was with him. Eugênio Tadeu was a very tough guy.
Which one? The...
The black guy, Eugênio Tadeu, he fought too. He fought against Renzo, he fought against Roller, he fought against the first Jiu-Jitsu against the first Vale Tudo. He fought and he won. He beat the Jiu-Jitsu guy. He beat Renan Pitangui. Was a tough guy, Eugênio Tadeu.
Is that, he was like a shorter, stocky guy?
Yeah, very tough, amazing.
Is that where they had the, in the stadium, and then the fight, everything exploded?
No, that one was Renzo against him.
Oh, that's when Renzo fought him.
Yeah, but Renzo was control him all the time. But in the end, Renzo got a little bit tired, but was well. The ring supposed to fall was bad.
The what?
The ring was not very... Something weird happened with the ring, supposed to fall.
But there, was there...
Could it kill people?
Were you there at this fight?
Yes. Yeah? I was everywhere.
Wow.
I was... Yeah, when all problems happen.
Did there was, at that one, there was like a riot? Was there a riot?
Riot.
Like the outside of the ring, it spilled over to outside and people start fighting?
Yes.
Yeah? And then what happened? I mean,
I punched some people punched me, kicked me. Then they come the police and finish.
For the ancient old question, gi versus no gi, you see a lot of, when people come to you and ask you, like, a lot of times people, maybe they don't want to train with the gi, they have this
start debate. With the gi, take a minimum two or three years with the gi to after take the gi off and then start training no gi.
Mm-hmm. And if someone, you were going to ask?
And you were saying that you like Muay Thai as well.
Yeah, I like Muay Thai, I like box. I like all kind of martial arts. I think we need to learn basic from everything. Mm-hmm. But jiu-jitsu, my...
That's your heart.
Jiu-jitsu, so, my religion.
I got you. Now, the question that I have is, what if you have someone who is over here, like a striker, and, you know, they love Muay Thai, and they'll say that Muay Thai is the best martial art?
It's okay, his choice. Yeah. I like the gray color. I don't mind if you like the black.
Yeah.
It's everybody, you know. It's the most important aspect. Your wish, and you respect my wish.
Yeah, that is true. Now, you did say that you started when you were 7 years old, so, and it was just kind of like what was available at the time for you. So now that you've been training it for over 40 plus years, you say that Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is like your favorite, it's the best, like people should definitely go there. Like if someone were to ask you, you're definitely like in on the side of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. So like what would you tell someone if they wanted to hear why Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is better than the other martial arts?
Because you prove to the world, we kick everybody's butt in the world to prove Jiu-Jitsu was the best martial art in the world. I don't know if you remember Royce Gracie. He spanked everybody and showed Jiu-Jitsu the best martial art in the world. If you don't do Jiu-Jitsu, you are dead. It's like you are a tiger inside. You are a lion inside the shark tank. Mm. You cannot survive.
Mm. So you were there at that time. And now my question is, a lot of people say that was fake, that it was like some kind of like thing that they ran so that they could get people to come and train the martial art. Since you were there, like, what do you think?
They thought it was fake because nobody saw a guy with 135 pounds control guys with 300 pounds so easy and make the guys tap, you know, give up, you know. That's used to look fake, but everybody who knows jiu-jitsu, who is try jiu-jitsu, this means like, example, today you have a lot of Muay Thai guys, like professional Muay Thai, like the best in the world. like Adesanya, like the New Zealand guy, the UFC world champion. Yeah. He's a purple belt in jiu-jitsu because he knows if he does not know jiu-jitsu, he cannot survive. But his main fight is he's a Muay Thai guy. You know what I mean? But he know he needs jiu-jitsu. Except, I don't need another martial art to fight. But the Muay Thai, boxing, wrestling, karate, they need jiu-jitsu to fight. I don't need.
Yeah. Just going off that, it's, you know, there would be always those ancient old debates, like if you put karate up against kung fu or boxing up against this art. And it was a lot of theories. But then what they did, the Gracie, this was a beautiful thing, is now they said, come, let's try. You know, so they had the challenge matches. Mm-hmm. And then it all the way led up to the UFC. So then it led up to there. And you used to see all the different styles, you know, put in there. And the thing was, everyone was trained standing up. But then it's just natural that you're going to clinch. You're gonna, just like two boxers. You get mm-hmm. two boxers. How many times the referee has to split them up? Because they always just naturally grabbing each other.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know.
Like a school fights, always go to the ground.
Always goes to the ground, yeah. And that's when, like, then you're in the water. Yeah, you got to know how to swim. Yeah. So I always say it's the one-stop shop, you know. If you want to learn the most effective, proven most effective martial art, then I say this is the Gracie Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I didn't believe in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu before I got into it, but then when I first did it, I got humbled. I got humbled big time.
We prove, you know, the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, we Brazilians, we kick the world butt. We spank everybody to prove Jiu-Jitsu was the best martial art. If it was not us, the Brazilian, Americans still believe Bruce Lee was true.
Wait, so Bruce Lee? What do you know about Bruce Lee?
Everybody thought Kung Fu was the main thing, and it's not.
Okay, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Like his whole, like, Jeet Kune Do.
But Bruce Lee, just in closing, before we conclude, in some of his literature, you can see him, he was thinking already on the ground, you know what I mean? He was evolving.
He was a smart guy, no?
Yeah, so he knew that, you know.
That's the reason he's the legend.
Yeah. Thank you very much for sharing some of this history with us, that much of the world, hopefully now we got it in HD, you know? So some people who are from the Gordos, the Helfs, the Henzos, and their students and others, they can kind of start, and the Machados, students, people can look to this, you know, and they can see some of that, the roots, you know, of their teachers and some of the history, that so it's not forgotten.
Okay.
Thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you, guys.
And thank you, guys. We'll see you next time. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.